Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we're going to look at shelter in place. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious, everlasting God, we thank you for all the goodness you have for us. We thank you for the rich abundance in your word, that every time we just put a shovel in, there's so much that we unearth, so much treasure for us. Thank you for being with us again as we look into your word, that we may see you more clearly and see the goodness that you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. As you may know, we're doing a series I called 3x3, and I have no idea exactly why it was going to be 3, but now it's gone to getting about 4 or 5. But looking at the element of 3, we did our transition message, which was a replay of Apostle Kizzy's all-time favorite, the brook, the bag, and the sling, that there were 3 places that the rock was. You either are in the brook, you are in the bag, or in the sling at any point. It's those 3 make a complete. We're looking at that imagery of 3, how it conveys a powerful message of completeness. And then we also looked at Tamar and the 3 items she requested from Judah, which we can just read a ring, a bracelet, and a staff. But we found out to be so much more. The signet and the thread or the lace, the binding, and then the staff or the tribe. But these 3 elements marked, there's meaning in those. So I don't want you just to blithely read over these 3s, that they present a picture. Well, we were going to go on to another one. And we'll probably do that next week, about Elijah and 3 elements for the journey. And I was thinking, well, how appropriate for everybody, because I know everyone feels a great deal like we're on a journey. Well, something else kind of intervened, and I think we're going to kind of, oh, no, I apologize. Last time, because we were celebrating Easter, we did the 3 ways in which Jesus obtained his name, the name that is above every name. That it wasn't just one way or another, but Jesus inherited that name, Jesus was given that name, and Jesus earned that name. So that name, above all names, is his absolutely by every means possible. And so I was thinking about that. Well, we kind of are taking a little bit of a diversion again today, and I just think that people may need some of that reassurance. We're going to look at, if we're talking about sheltering in place, we're talking about deliverance. One of the most dynamic psalms on deliverance is on Psalm 91. And I was going to look at just one scripture that's very meaningful to me, as in the three parts, the way God answers prayer in three in one, you know, times three, deliverance times three. But as I began to think, well, okay, let me share one or two little things out of Psalm 91, I thought, well, we're just going to expand it. So we're going to look at it, and some of it I'm just going to touch very lightly, very briefly. If you have an interest in these things, you can dig deeper. Psalm 91, I'm sure that there are a great number of people who've been sharing this psalm with themselves, with others during this season. But, you know, again, it's also good. The more we know, the deeper that knowledge, the deeper we see God in things. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to look at the different names of God, but I'll point out there's one name for Most High, another name for the Almighty. There's another name in verse 2 for the Lord. So all these things, if you want to go dig for those, please do that. Most High is Elyon. The Almighty is Shaddai. The Lord in verse 2 is Jehovah. So you see right there, there's a plethora. Right there, we have what? Three names. We have the three names, not the three, is only three, but three names of God in two verses. And you could do the study on that, that three if you wanted. But we're not going to do that. But at least I'll point it out on the way. He that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Well, this word in the Hebrew for secret place can be translated, and most often is translated, shelter. It's not secret like, you know, oh, you have to have the passcode and, you know, it's we'll keep it from other people, but it's secret in that it's sheltered. Most of you are sheltering in place, and you feel, not that it's secret like nobody can get in, but it's a hidden, it's a safe place. So I just, that when I thought about that, I thought, well, of course, and let's just do that one today, because many of us are sheltering in place. He that dwelleth in the secret place, or the shelter place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, and I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. 3, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers. That actually is pinions, that's wings. The feathers are substituted for the wings. There are things that have wings that don't have feathers, but almost everything that has feathers has wings, except for maybe your pillow. Under His wings shalt thou trust. See, those two things are together. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Now, I want you to also remember what I've taught you before, that anything that's in italics can be taken out. Sometimes the translators have put that there to make it a little smoother, easy reading, but sometimes it kind of muddies it. So just remember that when I get there. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, the destruction that wasteth at noonday. See how it's these elements, it's repetition. And that's why that poetic element, remember, this is not just history, this is poetry. And the point of poetry, I mean, in general, or should be, that it isn't that it's about truth, although, you know, we know it's true, but that it's truer than true. If I say, you know, that you, what does it say, that where's the feathers? He will cover you with His feathers. Well, you know, you can think, okay, is He going to glue feathers on me? No, but if you think of Him like a mother hen spreading her wings out and pulling her chicks under her wings, there's a protection there. There's a safety there that the image of under His feathers is a more, it's a stronger image, but the truth of that in just saying, and He will pull you in and protect you. That's why, so just flow with it.
Okay.
For the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that walk in darkness, the destruction wasteth at noonday. And these, of course, think about the magnitude of these things going on. That's why this is a beautiful one. Whenever you feel you really are to be reminded of the great deliverance, the great protection of our God. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with your eyes shall you behold it and see the reward of the wicked. In other words, we may behold it, but we won't have to partake of it. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord your refuge, my refuge. The better way to translate this, let me read it to you. For thou, O Lord, are my refuge, the Most High, my habitation. I want you to understand that. That one is just a little bit muddied. And I know what they're trying to do is they're trying to clean up something, but there's something beautiful in that. Hang with me. For thou, Lord, are my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Amen. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, remember, that's also the part that's quoted about Jesus at the temptation. And, you know, he's given his angels charge, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So this whole psalm, whenever you quote a part of it, this whole thing is directly a messianic prophecy. It is true of the Messiah. So I want you to remember that. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon thou shalt trample under feet. And remember that image then again of with Eve, you know, that he shall bruise your heel and he shall, you know, step on your head. Remember that image, that prophetic thing, which then, of course, from Genesis is mentioned here, goes on to the crucifixion and the ascension. Okay, verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name, and that he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, while there's a lot of exciting things in this psalm, if you're really honest as you read it, the one thing that you find is there's confusion. It seems to flip back and forth between him and I. You know what I mean? Like sometimes a psalm may say, I will give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good to me. He has shown me his loving kindness, his tender mercy. Or it may talk, maybe God speaking to you, etc. But Psalm 91, if you're very honest about it, it seems confusing because it seems to flip-flop. Well, ta-da! We're now looking at the first part of these three parts in Psalm 91. When we say it's I said it was a poem, but it's more than a poem. It's a dialogue. If you read any like theater. And I certainly don't mean much of the theater that's going on today, but very classical, say like Greek theater, Sophocles or something. The hero may say something, then the antagonist may say something, then the chorus will say something. There is a dialogue back and forth. Even in Shakespeare, there was dialogue back and forth in poetry form. So this is what you have here. And I don't know if you've ever discovered this. It is a psalm. Yes. It is a psalm of deliverance. Yes. but it is also a poetic dialogue. And so if you will look, actually, there are three voices in this. Now, I'm not going to go through and get real precise and slice it, because that actually is not the focus of today, although we are talking about deliverance times three, or deliverance in three voices. That's not particularly the voice I'm talking about. Okay, but there are three voices. The first voice, I'm going to just say, is the spirit. Now, just flow with me a bit here. The second voice is the voice of the Messiah. And that, because it's a messianic psalm, remember, because he has given his angels charge over thee. That was most definitely true of Messiah, but it's also true of me. If he gave his angels charge over the Messiah, well, he definitely has given his angels charge over me. So I can substitute me in there later. And then there is Jehovah. So if you want to look at this again, that threesome, not exactly named as such, is Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Okay? So, but again, you see these three voices. The voice would just call spirit, verse one. It's just this voice. The spirit says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Boom. That is the dialogue from that voice. I wish I had somebody else here to read opposite lines with me so you could hear it. But he that shelters with the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where our safety is, right? Now we have the voice of what I'm saying is messianic. It's the Messiah, but it's also us. And verse 2, I will say of the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Now see, now we're getting to first person. That's why it could have been confusing to you, because it's third person, he, and then it's I, and then it's he, and then it's I. And that's why, you know, it always has disturbed me. But until you get to it, it's like, oh, well, yeah, because there's more than one voice going on. The Spirit says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then another voice. I will say of the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee. Now, okay, so that was voice. Now we're going back to the spirit again, which is saying, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. See, it's that sort of third person. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid. And we go on and on and on. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. That's verse 8. Those verses are by the Spirit, talking third person about what God will do. All right. Verse 9. This again now goes back to that messianic voice. All right. The first person. Don't worry about the spirit of messianic. Third person, first person, and second person. Okay. And this is when we say with our voice, Jesus and us all say, and that's where I reread that to you the way that it should read, for thou, Lord, art my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. That again is that first person voice, isn't it? Okay. Now we switch back verses 10 through 13 to that third person voice. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, keeping thy ways. Thou shalt bear him up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Okay. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. That is the last of that voice. Now we have a third voice, and this is exciting because this is, I know I'm just kind of assigning names here, but this is the third voice, which is second person, and that is basically Jehovah. And Jehovah is now speaking directly, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Beautiful psalm. And I don't know, I just kind of took some time to the side, because before that always used to confuse me. We were jumping around from he to you to I, and I never could quite get it down. But if you divide it out that way, it makes sense, doesn't it? So there's that subtle understanding in the poetry that it's three different voices. And who's to say God can't do that, right? God can talk in as many voices as he wants. And so that, so we get this beautiful psalm of deliverance. And the reason I thought this is great, besides it saying sheltering in him, it talks a great deal about pestilence. It also talks about terror. Two things are going on in this country. There is the disease, and then there's the fear of the disease. Amen? There is the destruction that comes from the financial side as well. And so all these things, it's more than just one. That's why we have day and night. We have pestilence and destruction. We have all these things. You know, we have wasting. We have enemies. All this is all these various types. So in today's scenario, we see, you know, people really needing an answer. And the reason, this is the biggest reason why I turn to this, and why the three that I really want to emphasize in this one is not the three voices, although I think that's pretty good. And there's another three that will come to this. But there was a time when I was just quite literally back to the wall, at my wit's end, at the end of my rope, whatever cliche you want to use, I was there. And I went to this like refuge place, and I checked in. I spent the night in prayer. I knew I was going to have to leave in the morning. But I said, God, I'm not leaving here until I get an answer. I need deliverance. I need help. I need something. I am at my end. And I remember God leading me to Psalm 91. And I read it the way we all read it. And then I saw something. God did a very beautiful thing. I got my answer from God. But I didn't get it by a bolt of lightning. I didn't get it by the circumstance I was in being, you know, rapidly relieved. It did get a little bit better, but it took 2-3 years for it to be in full deliverance mode. And by that time, I wasn't even thinking in this term, but God gave me a revelation out of this psalm. And that's what I want to share with you today. Deliverance times three, or deliverance in three parts, or in three voices, if I can say it like that. He shall call, it's in this one, the Lord is speaking at the end, verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Boom, that's where I was. I called upon him. And he answered me. But then I saw there's really only one answer. But it had three parts to it. Okay? He gave me an answer. And here are the three parts. Part A, I will be with him in trouble. Part B, I will deliver him. And part three, I will honor or glorify him. And he sums those three things up. With length of days, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So I just got this blinding insight that God's answer comes immediately, but it comes in three parts. Right there, smack in the middle of the problem, right there, he will be with you. Amen? That's part A. I will be with him in trouble. Doesn't mean always the trouble's going to go away. I want to get back to when when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they were in among all the snakes, all the serpents, and they ran to Moses and asked Moses to ask God to take the snakes away. And sometime I'm going to preach this because it's just one of my favorite places in the world. God answered, but let me tell you how God answered. God did not take the snakes away, did he? He left them there among the people, but he gave them a way of escape. Isn't that right? And that's true. How many of us can testify that? We have something, God, I need deliverance out of this thing. And your deliverance may not come from escaping the situation. But part one, God is right there in the midst of the situation with you. Boom. Okay? Then the second part is, and he will deliver you. There are times I've waited, and I've seen God with me, and so I can bear it, and God's with me, and I can bear it. Little by little, things change, and then sometimes, either just very slowly, incrementally, or a big swooping, there comes deliverance. But it may be a great while, okay? And then the third part, but I'll get to that. Like, I'll give you an example. This wasn't my situation, and it may not be yours, but you may be in an unbearable job. But you know that's where God wants you to be. And it just seems maybe your boss is just always, you know, doesn't love the Lord, so he's always picking on you, or whatever it may be. And you pray and say, God, you know, I need out of this. I need deliverance. And he will call upon me, and I will answer him. God answers you. The first way he answers you is by being there with you. Even if the enemy isn't gone, God gives you grace for the day. God gives you other people around to support you. God gives you a scripture, puts a song in your heart. Somehow something happens, and day by day, he's with you. And when he's with you, it doesn't touch you, but you're still in the midst of it. Remember the children of Israel with the serpents around them, right? But God said, I'll make this brass serpent and lift it up, and they need to stare at it. The snakes were still around them, but he had them focusing on something else. He was with them by the presence of this brazen serpent. Then later, there was deliverance. And you may have been in this situation where something that just seems unbearable, but little by little, God's with you in it, and you say, that's good enough. I'm okay with that, God. If you want to leave me here, I'm all right. I don't want to be here, but that's okay. And little by little, he's with you. Then there does come a day of deliverance. We'll say, for example, your boss gets promoted. I don't care. Or gets fired. Doesn't make any difference out of your life. God has now delivered you from that yoke of that very, you know, bad situation. And sometimes we are so grateful for that. We go, thank you. And we're happy as a clam. And then we forget, though, that there's a third part. Because sometimes we'll leave it like that. There are things I've prayed for. And I know I've heard God, a good friend of mine, we've been talking about this. And there was something she asked God for when she was, gosh, she probably was in her 20s, had little babies at home. She probably don't want me to say this, but she's now probably pretty doggone close to 70. And God answered her prayer, and she had forgotten she had prayed for it until there was something we were talking about, and I, you know, not kidding her, but told her that what I had prayed for her, you know, that God would do for her what she couldn't do. It reminded her of this prayer she prayed when she was in her 20s, and she was desperate and unhappy. And well, God was with her the whole time. God delivered her out of a lot of that financial whatever. But now at this point, he has glorified her. People came and miraculously provided something for her. She'd even forgotten she'd ever prayed for. And it was something like $30,000 worth of help. And she was, you know, praising God. Sometimes we forget. Remember the lame man. He was lame. He wanted to walk. Here are three parts: lame, walking, and leaping. walking and leaping and praising God, leaping or dancing. Most of us would get the point, God, I've been lame so long, if I could just walk, I won't ask for any more. But God is with you while you're lame. He was there, you know, however many years, more years than Jesus had been alive, 38 years, I believe. And then when he was delivered, well, this is a different lame man, but never mind. We got a lot of lame men in there. But when he was delivered, he wasn't just walking with a limp. Most of us want to go from being lame. If I could just walk with a limp, God, that'd be good enough for me. But God doesn't do good enough. Then there was deliverance. But there can be gaps of time in between. Let me give you an example. This is, for me, the best example there is, because that's one of the reasons why I had talked to you about it, the messianic voice in this psalm. Jesus went through a great deal. We've just, most of us passed Easter. So you've had that on your mind, all the trials, the tribulations, the suffering that he endured. But the point that he had was that God was with him in his trouble. If you missed that, we did in Listener Appreciation Month, I did a message on the cry of triumph. He was not grumping, complaining, and calling God a dirty dog when he said, thou hast forsaken me. No, rather he said, my God, this is why I was spared. This is what I was kept aside for. This is my destiny. And so God had been with him in all that trouble. Amen. Well, God did deliver him. Easter morning came, and the tomb was empty, and he was in a glorified body, wasn't he? He couldn't suffer pain anymore, couldn't suffer hunger anymore. He could eat if he wanted, but he didn't have to. You could touch the scars, but the scars didn't have a hurt to him. So he had been delivered from that. When he was set up on high, he's been delivered from all his human suffering, hasn't he? But that's not all. There comes a third part. That's future tense. When he shall be glorified. That at the name of Jesus, that's what we talked about last week, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. There are a lot of knees that bow, there are a lot of tongues that confess, but not all of them. And I could name names. But there's coming a time when he will be glorified. Amen? And so there again are those threes, past, present, future. In the past, God was with him in trouble. In the present, he has been delivered from that. Amen? But in the future, he shall be glorified. And if you start thinking about the things in your life, maybe finances, maybe there was a time you were terribly in debt, but God was with you. God was with you. And he somehow provided for you. Praise the Lord. He's with you right in the middle of that debt, isn't he? But there comes a time of deliverance, whether it's through one big swoop or whether it's gradually. All of a sudden, you find you're solvent. You don't have to worry about how much you've accumulated. You're just solvent, praise the Lord. But now, there'll become a time when you're glorified. Maybe you already have been in this sense, that you have so much that you have all you need and you have that you can share. Amen? So, when I saw this, he called upon me and I will answer him. And here is the answer. The answer that he answered me with is three parts. Number one, I'll be with you in trouble. Number two, I will deliver you. And number three, I will glorify you. That answer for our deliverance, whatever you're going through today, whatever you're struggling with, whatever it be physical ailment, whether it be financial, whether it be relationships, whether it be some kind of spiritual struggle, number one, he's right there with you in the midst. You call upon him and he answers. Now, those answers are threefold. The first part is he is with you. Even if you don't see a moment of change, I bet there's not any person out there who doesn't know what I'm talking about. You pray, something has been on your heart, something has either been in your body, and you just pray and you know you connect. You know you called on him and he heard you. You know that he answered. And right then and there, maybe your body doesn't feel any bit better, or maybe your finances don't get any better, but you absolutely know something has happened. something has changed, and you know that he is with you. Whether you see something manifest yet or not, he is with you. I called upon him, and he answered. And here is the answer. I'll be with you. No matter how long this trouble is, don't worry. It's not the same kind of trouble it was before, because I am with you. Number two, I will deliver you. There's going to come a time this will come to an end, and I will glorify you. That may be future tense. I don't know, but there comes a time that for those things that we've suffered, for those things that we've passed through, God glorifies us. Amen. May not be till he comes back, but I don't care. If he delivered me in the first part, if he's with me, then there will be glory. He won't do part one and two and not deliver. That was the faithlessness of the Israelites coming out of Egypt. Why God got, if I use this term, got disgusted with them. He said, Moses, what's wrong with these your people? Why would I bring you all the way out of Egypt, deliver you from the hand of the Pharaoh, deliver you from slavery, and then leave you to die of hunger in the wilderness? If I brought you out, then surely I'm going to feed you. You may not have entered into the promised land yet, but I've been with you in all of this. Why would I do the first part and not bring you into the promised land? Why would he not deliver us? Why would he not be with us in all our trouble and not bring us to that time of glory? It's not even that I'm looking for it anymore. Amen. I'm happy where I am. But as surely as he has been with me, he will deliver us. He will glorify us. Amen. So I wanted to read Psalm 91. I kind of got sidelined because I wanted you to see this is a dialogue in three parts, which made it more exciting to me because we've been talking about 3 times 3. Psalm 91 is definitely 3 times 3. There are these other two voices, and then the third voice of Jehovah answers. And the answer is these three verses. I'll read them again. Because, this is the Lord talking to us, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I'll set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation, or with length of days shall I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So as wherever you are, whatever you're in, if you call upon him, he answers. That answer even is in three parts. Amen? And this psalm reinforces it by being a dialogue in three parts. This is probably one of the psalms that's the closest to how some people are feeling. There truly is a pestilence. There truly is a plague in the land. There truly is terror that's walking our streets by day and by night, isn't there? There is truly want and lack, isn't there? There's so many of these things that are about us. Amen? But because of this, we opened with what? He that dwells in the shelter of the Almighty. You may be sheltering at home. I am sheltering in the Almighty, praise the Lord. And when I'm in the Almighty, he will answer when I call upon him. I may not see all three parts right away, just the same way Jesus didn't. Jesus walked among humanity for 33 and a half years, but in ministry as 3 years. God did deliver him, but he was present with him throughout it all. And there comes a time when he will glorify him. There comes a time, whatever it is you haven't seen, trust me, God will glorify you. He cannot lie. And this number three always stands to show the completeness of it, the complexity, the definitive answer of these things. When they come in three, it is complete. When God answers us, the answer is in three parts because it is complete. Past, present, future. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Mother, Father, Child. Three legs of a stool. Three sides of a triangle, three angles of a triangle. I don't care what, where you want to look at it. In this world, as well as in the scriptures, three gives us stability, gives us solidness, gives us assurance, gives us emphatically complete. And so it is with us. God has promised us, especially during this time of crisis, during this time of pestilence, during this time of terror, during this time of shortage, he said, he that shelters under the Almighty shall abide in the shadow of him. Amen. We'll say of the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And the answer, the promise to that, and his answer to that, it is calling and answering. Amen. Remember, we do that in church a lot, don't we? The preacher will call out, the congregation will answer. Same with the choir. There's call and answer. Amen. We call upon him and he will answer us. We have his word on that. That he will do what? He will be with us in trouble. He will deliver us and he will honor us. And that is the definition, my friend, of length of days that satisfies. That is the definition of his salvation, of his wholeness. Salvation just doesn't mean you're just getting to heaven, but we're whole, we're complete, we have it all. So I just wanted to take a look at Psalm 91 and assure you of God's deliverance. Three times three, amen. We have been delivered and we will continue to be delivered, and there will come a day that we shall be glorified, for he reigns on high. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. Thank you that you reassure our hearts what we know to be true, that we call out to you and you answer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for our time in the Word. Let us each be enriched by you. Father God, may we each feel your touch, feel your presence, that we know no matter what we face, you are with us. You will deliver us. You will glorify us. Thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Looking forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Midst airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button, and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at get'emradio@gmail.com or call us at area code 314-325-9986. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him.